to smoke about this time of the day. And all this is keeping me to where I can't go do it. Now, I'm gonna go do it.
Well, hello, and welcome to another trashy session of About This Time of Day, a Teen Mom podcast where we are living in 2009 and would like to stay there. My name is V, I am your host, and today on About This Time of Day, we're going to learn all about Chelsea. Yes, Chelsea, I feel like, is a low-key polarizing character, if there is such a thing. You either love her or you hate her, but I feel like there's still a lot of in-between as well. Does that make any sense? I'm not quite sure. We're going to go into it today. I hope you guys are ready, and also ready to meet Adam. This session's companion strain is Sunday Driver in a Cartridge, of course. It's just easier and more portable. I do want to get back to having some flower strains for these shows, but this is just easiest right now, you guys. So I hope you find Sunday Driver somewhere in your neighborhood and vape, smoke, toke right along with me. The description for this episode is as follows. Popular senior is caught up with her school life and fighting with her boyfriend Adam. She thinks things will go back to normal after she gives birth, but instead learns that she can choose her daughter above everything else. Strangely hopeful. I'm not used to that in the Teen Mom universe. Let's see how it goes. So when we first meet Chelsea, we can already tell that she's very different from Janelle, even though one of the first things she says in her intro is that she's all about having fun. She's more about all about having fun, like hanging out with her friends, doing wholesome things, not getting shit-faced at some underage club. Or at least that's the vibe MTV wants to give off here. Also, right off the bat in her intro, she says she's a huge daddy's girl, so okay. Close connection with a family, we see that. Very different from Janelle as well. But the one thing she and her dad argue about is her boyfriend, Adam. Now, my friends, we've met quite a few duds in the last 14 sessions that we've had together, but I want to say that Adam, he might be the top dog. He just very well might be the worst of the bunch. At least until the series continues. But between Ryan, Andrew, and Adam, and maybe Gary, I think Adam takes the cake for worst fucking dad on the show. But of course, no matter what we or Chelsea's dad thinks of Adam, he's in her life forever because she's pregnant. The episode starts off with Chelsea in her room talking to one of her close friends, Megan. Megan is someone we will see again throughout the series. They're having a conversation in her room, and it's very lighthearted, almost like they're not really worried about the baby coming, but not in the same way that Janelle wasn't worried about it, to where she just didn't care. This is like Megan asks Chelsea, "What are you going to do when the baby arrives and you have to go back to school?" And Chelsea says, "Oh, I'll probably put her in daycare." That was such an easy decision. How long did we see in Teen Mom 1 those girls struggle with the decision to put their child in daycare and struggle to find the money to put their child in daycare? And here we have Chelsea. "Oh, I'll probably just put the baby in daycare." What I read from this conversation more than anything is that Chelsea has money. She knows she has money, whether it's her dad's, her mom's, her own, or her great aunt Martha's. She knows well enough and confidently enough to say, "Oh, I'll just put the baby in daycare." So I think that's interesting. As well as probably being pretty comfortable financially, we also know that Chelsea is pretty comfortable in her family life as well. This is great. With Farrah, we saw problems. With Caitlin, we saw problems. Of course, with Janelle, there were problems. But here I feel like we have a very different setup. The scene transitions from Chelsea talking to her friend Megan to Chelsea talking to her father Randy downstairs in the kitchen. They're doing the obligatory "how you found out I was pregnant" conversation, and I have got to say, this is the most rational conversation that I've heard on Teen Mom to date in this podcast.
"Didn't Mom tell you I was pregnant?" Yeah, she just called and said, we got a problem. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of guessed. Birth control.
Yeah, but I can't even take regular medicine.
I know.
I was just really scared to tell you. I felt like you were going to be sad that you're like, your youngest baby was going to have a baby.
Disappointed is the word you're thinking of.
Yeah.
And I was. There's no use flying off the handle and wigging out about it.
Yeah.
Because you can't undo it, so you have to accept it.
It's not a choice to undo it for us.
Not for us.
Did you ever think I should give it up for adoption?
I didn't think so, no. Because we've got a strong enough family that we could always take care of it.
Now, see, aside from that coded pro-life messaging, I think that's a really nice conversation that they had. The conversation between Chelsea and her dad continues, and she tells her dad that when she was in the hospital being told that she was for sure pregnant, Adam was actually texting her, trying to break up with her, and telling her to get an abortion. Maybe that's why they were so subtly vocal a second ago about her pregnancy not being a choice for them. Maybe it was a dig at Adam because he thought it could be a choice for him. And that I understand a little bit more. But what a piece of shit, right? Chelsea continues and says that in true abusive asshole fashion, the very next day, Adam completely switched on her, and that text he sent the day before? Fucking meaningless, apparently, and he started being all nice and shit. Great. So now, Chelsea is hoping that he stays nice, and maybe this baby will fix everything. Chelsea's father is skeptical of this notion himself, so much so that Chelsea's voiceover tells us that he wants to have a conversation with Adam, just the two of them. Oh, that'll be interesting. That could be fun. Okay. Oh, just kidding. I forgot that Randy is a mostly level-headed dude and actually talks to Adam like he's a human being, even though I'm pretty sure he's a piece of shit.
We've had a little past, you and I.
Yeah, it's been bad.
And, you know, I'm not above forgiving.
Yeah.
And accepting things if you treat my girl the way she needs to be treated. It's time to put up or shut up, and mm-hmm. Is it going to change?
Yeah, it's going to change. It's time to get serious and why
is it time now?
I don't know. It's just time.
So once again, I have to commend Randy here for keeping his cool, being very mature, saying that he's not above forgiving and forgetting as long as Adam treats Chelsea right. And I don't think that's a big ask, especially considering it takes very little effort to treat somebody with respect. Now I'm going to do what I do best on this show and completely pick apart this interaction. Randy puts out this olive branch, I want to be friends. Just treat Chelsea right, we're gonna be fine. Adam responds, yes, sure, of course, I agree, it will change, everything's going to be fine. And now that seems okay, but then Randy throws him off and says, well, why is it time to change now? Adam, who was clearly just mirroring what Randy was saying, trying to get through the conversation with his dick intact, not prepared for this question whatsoever, says, oh, I don't know. It's just time. I'm sorry, you don't know why it's time to get serious and start treating Chelsea right now? Could it be that you have a baby on the way? Could that have anything to do with it? The conversation actually continues after this point, and Randy has picked up on the smell of bullshit that I just described to you. He says to Adam, look, some of the things you've said in the past led me to believe that you don't really give a hoot about this baby. Adam really just sits there with a half shit-eating grin on his face, shakes his head and says, yeah. So Randy then has to go, is that how it is? And he's not nearly as shocked as I sound right now, because having to relay this to you makes it sound just so awful, and I think it might be. Guys, I fucking hate Adam, if you couldn't tell. But Randy has to ask, is that how it is? And Adam, oh no, that's not how it is. I understand that he's a kid talking to the father of his girlfriend that he impregnated at 16 or 17. I understand that he's probably nervous and uncomfortable. But when someone suggests that you, a soon-to-be father, does not care about their soon-to-be child, what is your reaction? Do you have a half smile on your face and just not making eye contact while nodding your head up and down in a yes motion? Please go watch this because I don't know what this fuck is doing. Randy says, I don't have a whole lot of faith in things. But Adam assures him, no, things will change. I was actually planning on, you know, kind of staying here with Chelsea after the baby's born and helping her and staying with the baby after Chelsea goes back to school. Okay, so Adam's not in school. We haven't gotten the lowdown on how they met. Usually that's in the beginning. I don't have that yet. Randy says to Adam he's not sure about him moving in, but surely they can work something out where he can be there for Chelsea and the baby once the baby is born. After their conversation, Adam goes upstairs to debrief with Chelsea, and he lets her know that her dad gave him the ball and he's going to try to run with it. Chelsea asks if this means that he's going to get angry less often, and Adam, instead of answering that question, says, will you too? And Chelsea says, of course, I know, me too, both of us, but comments like that truly make me uneasy. The first thing you do is turn it back on to her. I already have a bad feeling about this. Much to my surprise, Chelsea's voiceover says during the next few weeks they had never been more in sync. They're so happy and in love, and they were getting along great. So, I don't know, maybe Randy did have an impact on Adam that day. After the break, we come back to see Chelsea and her friend Megan heading to an ultrasound appointment to see the little baby. They do reveal it's a girl, and they have already said the name in the episode, but since we are playing the Teen Mom Baby name game today, I won't reveal that just yet, but it is a sweet baby girl. Chelsea's mom eventually catches up with them in the ultrasound room, and they all get to see the little baby. Not for the first time. She does have to have weekly ultrasounds at this point in her pregnancy because she's having pre-labor pains. There's some kind of special name for it. Brandon Hicks, I think? Or is that the guy from work I fucking hate? I'm not totally sure, but either way, this is what you have to do when you're experiencing pre-labor pains or false labor pains. You have to go in very often and be checked out to make sure everything's still good, you're not actually in labor, and no surprise babies or nothing's wrong. Chelsea does find out at this appointment that she might not make it the full 40 weeks and the baby might come a little early. So they go right home, and of course, Chelsea and Megan pick out the first newborn outfit that her baby girl will wear. And I'm not gonna lie, you guys, this next scene made me laugh like a little kid. They take the baby clothes they picked out and dress up Chelsea's dog in them. Like, Chelsea has this cute little pug dog, you know, with the smushed faces that I guess people are saying you shouldn't breed anymore or something. I don't fucking know. This is 2010, bitch, and I'm going to laugh at the dog in baby clothes. It was so cute. And then, of course, they take pictures of it, and Chelsea says she's going to put it on Facebook and say that she had her baby. The dog doesn't even care. They put a diaper on it and everything. This is why I love Chelsea. She's doing this while, you know, Janelle does whatever it is that Janelle does. After that priceless bit of comedy gold, the scene transitions to, I think, what's a little later in the week. Chelsea is hanging out with two of her friends. Megan is there and another one of her friends, getting ready and putting together, it looks like, baby shower favors. But they're discussing that tonight, whatever that night was, is the night of the last party of the summer before they have to go back to school. Well, according to Chelsea's voiceover, Adam doesn't want her going unless he's like at the house to leave with her. Is that not fucking weird as shit? But Adam cannot be reached on the phone, which is even more frustrating. Chelsea says, as she's sitting there with her friends, that Adam doesn't want me to go if he's not here, meaning that house. Well, her friend asks, well, regardless if he's here or not, because they're all going to the party, are you going to come with us? And Chelsea says that she thinks she's going to go with them. She thinks. But she's scared. Oh my fucking god. Not at Chelsea, just at this fucking dude and whatever he has done to her to make her feel this way. I get it. this girl probably has insecurities that may go far deeper than Adam, so I can't blame him solely, because there's some victim issues happening here that she's probably not even aware of. I don't know, but it makes me very angry to see a young woman say that she's scared to do something as benign as going to a party because she doesn't know how her boyfriend is going to react. Her friends do the right thing and encourage her to go out with them. As we see footage of Chelsea and her friends leaving for the party, Chelsea's voiceover says that she texts Adam to tell him to please meet them at the party, and he's pissed. Oh boy, good. What a dick. What the fuck difference does it make? Meet there. Why are you this controlling? Why are you this fucking weird? Chelsea and her friends arrive at the party and things are happy. She's seeing friends that she hasn't seen for a little bit. She's giving hugs. People are touching her belly. I don't even see anybody with a drink in their hand yet. Also, I'm not paying that close attention because I think Chelsea's just so adorable and nice and I just like seeing her be happy. I'm sorry. Everything's fine, of course, until Adam walks in. I have some audio for you to listen to. It's very hard to hear what they're saying to each other, so I will come in as necessary to translate. Chelsea asks, "Are you mad?" Adam says, yeah, and she quickly says, sorry. Then he says, why wouldn't I be mad?
Are you gonna get over it?
Chelsea asks if he's going to get over it at all, or if he's going to be mad all night. Adam doesn't respond, and then she asks for a kiss. That is not his laughing.
You won't even talk to me. You won't even kiss me. I'm your girlfriend.
Chelsea then asks if Adam would at least be nice to her, and this time he actually responds and says no. Chelsea says, really? Adam starts trying to say he's just sitting here minding his own business, which is like stupid, you're at a fucking party. And Chelsea immediately protests, you're my boyfriend, you won't even kiss me. She's obviously upset with his lack of affection and of course at the fact that he's mad at her for literally doing nothing wrong. Adam replies to her by saying, because I won't kiss you means I'm not your boyfriend or what? That's when Chelsea replies, I thought we weren't going to fight about stupid shit, which is the bleep you hear.
Making me feel alone in a room full of people is not what I need from my boyfriend. Whatever. I'm going crazy. What am I supposed to do?
What am I supposed to stay here?
Why are you coming back?
I don't know, yeah. God.
Why does he have to ruin everything I do? Okay. It's not okay. This is unfair. If this is Adam trying to make our relationship work, I'm in trouble.
So if you're confused on what happened in the last few seconds of that audio there, so am I. They appear to sit in silence for a few moments before Chelsea just says, whatever. Then that makes Adam sigh heavily, stand up and walk away from her and walk down the hallway at the party. He's on the phone or doing something. You hear Chelsea complain to her friend, I'm gonna go fucking crazy. And then you hear Adam say, well, what am I supposed to do? Just stay here? Dude, you came here. You knew Chelsea was here, so I would assume you would want to stay, because what the fuck did you expect to happen? You literally walked into this place saying hi to everybody else but her, sitting down next to her, and then refusing to acknowledge her or answer her questions, and now you're upset because she's upset, and I'm sure you have the old ladies getting on my case mentality. Fuck you, dude. And obviously we hear Chelsea very upset at the end of that audio. I guess him leaving the party and not telling her when he's going to come back or if he was going to come back was very upsetting to her. And she rightfully asks, why does he have to ruin everything I do? This is a singular moment that we see where Chelsea has tried to branch out on her own, to do something for herself and her friends. It's the last party of the summer before she has a baby. Her life is going to change forever after this. Adam knows this. So she's trying to do well for herself, have fun with her friends, and have a nice night. There's no reason that meeting up at the house should have to alter these plans whatsoever. Just meet up at the party instead. Maybe I am not seeing another side of this because I've experienced this, where you're doing something really exciting, you're really happy to be doing this, or you're looking forward to something so fucking much, and some abusive fucking asshole tries to come down on you and shit on you in some way, shape, or form, and absolutely fucking ruin your night beyond your control. Yeah, don't get me started on the different stories I have about that. Here's a hint. I missed one of my best friend's first dances at their wedding because I was handling a tantrum being thrown by a 28-year-old. After all that crying, we come back from commercial, and it turns out Adam just left for a little while and he came right back to the party. Oh boy. Are you fucking serious? Of course, this asshole walks in and says, "Well, I'm here." And has like a shitty, half-assed smile on his face, the same one he was wearing in front of Randy when they were having their discussion. And Chelsea says, "Good." So awkward. Can you imagine what their friends are thinking? Also at this point, you just watched Chelsea break down. Like, she was crying in front of people. They were in the living room when she started crying. People saw that. And that's fine, no shame. I cry in front of so many people all the time. But I'm just saying, you see that, then you watch him walk back into the room, and you see her just be like, "Oh, I'm glad you're back." She's not elated, don't get me wrong. She's still upset, you can feel it. But they go into another room and have a private discussion, just the two of them. Chelsea says, "So do you want me to leave you alone until you calm down?" Adam says, "I am calm." Chelsea says, "Well, give me a kiss and a hug and be nice." Like a suggestion, which he truly begrudgingly agrees to. Honestly, it was the most awkward, forced moment in Teen Mom history so far on this podcast. And it was implemented by Chelsea. This was Chelsea wanting affection from her boyfriend, understandable. And this narcissistic, sociopathic asshole coming back, pretending like nothing happened, and saying, "Well, yeah, I guess I can hug you." Chelsea's voiceover is used to transition that scene to a scene with her and her friends the following day, or very shortly thereafter the party. Because when Adam does things like that in front of her friends, it makes them very concerned for her. So we then see Chelsea, Megan, and the other friend that was with them. I think her name is Brittany. All having a conversation in Chelsea's room just about why she goes back to Adam every fucking time.
"So why do you keep on going back to him though? I want it to work. Like, I really like him." "Yeah. Obviously, like, I go back to him no matter all what he does. And I'm pregnant."
"Well, yeah."
"And now, like, I really want it to work."
"Yeah, just for the baby's
sake." "Yeah, I think she deserves to have a mom and dad."
"I don't know. He's just, like, said so many, like, mean things and, like, horrible things.
But then I feel bad, like, maybe I was the one who made him, like, mad that he would say that."
"But you didn't do anything."
"Nobody understands, I know."
"I understand."
"I'm kind of, like, hoping when he sees his baby..."
"He might change."
"Something might change."
"And then I think when you get to a certain point, you need to stop going back to him, though." "But do you know when that point is?"
"I don't know. And I don't want to find out."
Just so all my lovely listeners are aware as we go forward in this series, nothing you ever do will ever merit being treated by anybody the way Adam is treating Chelsea. Nothing you do, nothing you say, absolutely not is deserving of this kind of behavior. Chelsea's voiceover continues and says, as of right now, she and Adam are still together. And then that scene transitions to one where she, Adam, and her friends are heading out to go fishing to celebrate the end of summer. Again, a lot of end of summer celebrations. I was not going to comment on this scene until I came to this part of it. They're pretty much just bullshitting around. You see Adam talking some shit about, oh, I can still go out and party even though you can't. As the scene kind of comes to a conclusion, you hear Chelsea say, you know, I really hope the baby is a daddy's girl. And of course, my initial reaction when watching this just now was, no, no, of course not. You don't want her to be a daddy's girl. Oh my fucking God, no. But Chelsea goes on to say in this scene that Adam really wants a boy, but I think that when he holds his little girl, it's going to be different. She thinks, in my mind, that when this baby is born, Adam is magically going to turn into Chelsea's father. And I think that's very wishful thinking. And going back to the conversation with her friends, how do you know when enough is enough? Where is that line? With this kind of idealism, this kind of disconnection from how Adam actually is, you're going to have a really hard time drawing that line. After the final celebration of summer, it's finally time to get back to school. Chelsea says that she's excited. She is not worried about school whatsoever. And that's good, because having that kind of confidence is going to take you far. We see the first few moments of her first day at school, the first day of her senior year at school. And everything seems okay. She's happy to see her friends. She seems to be getting on all right until we see her try to sit down at a desk. Apparently, throughout all this, nobody thought about how she would fit in those tiny, tiny desks. So she sat on an exercise ball instead. And while she was in class, she started to feel like she was having those Braxton Hicks contractions. I said Brandon Hicks earlier. It's Braxton Hicks. My apologies. And it starts to worry her a little bit because they're a lot stronger than they were before. She tries to concentrate in class, but she just can't. She asks to be excused. Her friend and her run out to the nurse, and her nurse is convinced that she's in labor. They call an ambulance, and she's rushed to the hospital. Holy shit, that happened fast. Holy shit, that happened fast. We're about to have a baby. Chelsea's voiceover tells us, and we're shown through animation, that by the time Chelsea, her mom, Adam, and her dad got there, the pain was unbearable. It wasn't long after that that the doctor told her it's time to push. This surprises Chelsea because it's 5 weeks too soon for this baby. A couple weeks, sure, but 5 weeks? Now that's a little unnerving. Chelsea delivers the baby, thankfully. We do see some camera footage of her baby being born, and we do see that the baby is very tiny, and not very vocal. You know, you want babies to be crying a lot. This one is not so much. We get a lot of background audio of voices talking to each other. Is there a problem? Is the doctor worried? The doctor's a little worried, but I don't want to tell Chelsea that much and worry her. It's not a great moment. It's not like any of the other births we've seen. And honest to God, it gives you a really fucking creepy thing when it announces the baby's name. It makes me uncomfortable to describe it because you're going to think that the baby died. So you see the baby being cleaned up on the little weigh tray or wherever they put newborn babies to clean them up. And the picture's already a little dim. I'm not sure what kind of effect they're using, if it's called vignette. I think they're using a vignette here to where it's dark in the outer edges but focused lit in the middle on the baby. And as those voices that I was describing fade out, the sound of a heart monitor beeping fades in, and the vignette gets smaller, so there's more dark, less light, and it focuses right in on the baby, so it's all dark except for where the baby is, like black, dark. And then her name comes up, and underneath, instead of the birthday like we normally see, it says, born 5 weeks early. And then it cuts to commercial. I'll be goddamned if you don't look at that and not know what happens and think, oh, that baby died. I mean, I guess there's still a half hour of the episode left, but Jesus Christ, who the fuck's idea was that? Like, seriously, that fucked me up when I saw it. I was not ready for it, and now we have to play the Teen Mom Baby name game. How are we going to make that fun? it's time to get started once again, rating those baby names that those crazy teen moms think of. Is that fun enough? I hope so. I really tried to make it more fun. But especially because this new baby name may be a contender for the number one spot, you guys. Chelsea had her baby girl who lived, as I'm sure you all know. If you didn't, surprise, she lived, which is why that joke was totally okay and not at all inappropriate. Chelsea had her baby on September 7th, 2009, and named her Aubrey Sky. What a beautiful name. Now, I do have a little bit of a problem with the spelling. Aubrey is spelled A-U-B-R-E-E. I prefer with a Y at the end instead of two E's because my favorite wrestling referee is named Aubrey with a Y. But Sky as a middle name completely makes up for any small spelling issues that there might be. I am such a sucker for the name Sky. There was a Sky on the show called Puzzle Place when I was younger. And I remember watching it and thinking that I didn't realize that people could be named Sky. Like, that's such a beautiful name. I want to be named Sky. I also want to be named Christina, funnily enough. But truly, I think Aubrey Sky is an amazing name. And such as my bias towards Chelsea, I have to bump Sophia Loren from the top spot and put Aubrey Sky at number one. So our top three now, my friends, are Aubrey Sky at number one, Sophia Loren at number two, and my sweet little potato bug Bentley Cadence at number three, followed, of course, by Jace, Baby Carolyn, and Leah Leanne. I am sorry about those last three placements, you guys, but that's just where we are in the Teen Mom Baby Name Game.
Teen Mom Baby Name Game.
That was fucking awesome. As I already spoiled, baby Aubrey is okay. She survives, she's alive, and even though she was born 5 weeks early, it looks like she's going to be okay. Thank goodness, because Aubrey is also one of my favorite little potato bugs. During Chelsea's hospital stay, we see her dealing with the issues that a premature born baby might be dealing with. Aubrey does have jaundice, so they need to give her UV light treatment, it appears. I don't know much about it, but they do explain that the exposure to the light helps bring the jaundice levels down. After a few days in the hospital, the nurse does approach Chelsea and lets her know that while she's being discharged that day, unfortunately, baby Aubrey has to stay in the hospital for a while longer so she can gain enough weight to where it's safe for her to be home. It's very sad for Chelsea to have to leave her baby behind, and I'm sure this was not what she was expecting when she got pregnant throughout her pregnancy, and maybe not even when she went into labor. I'm sure that's difficult, but also in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so she gets a little downtime before the real mothering starts, like the 24 hours up all night kind of mothering. So that's good, and it's also good because we know Aubrey is going to be okay, but it doesn't make it any easier for Chelsea to leave her. The very next morning after Chelsea's discharge from the hospital, she is raring and ready to go to get back and see baby Aubrey. It's her baby, after all. We are shown a scene of Chelsea and Adam in bed waking up in the morning. Chelsea says, "Are you going to come with me today?" And I'm going to give you guys the benefit of the doubt and assume you already know that Adam is just too tired to be bothered to go see his prematurely born baby in the hospital, who is vulnerable and probably needs him more than she ever will in her entire life in that moment. Adam says to Chelsea that he doesn't understand why they can't just chill there for a few more hours and sleep. Chelsea says because she really wants to go see their daughter. Adam says, "Okay, well then go." Chelsea even tries to compromise with him and says, "Can you just come with me and like sleep at the hospital?" I think that's really generous. I think that's a super generous compromise and offer to be made. Of course, Adam says that won't work because you can't sleep there. But I'm sure Adam could sleep anywhere he'd set his mind to. Chelsea says that it's making her feel like Adam doesn't really care. Adam, of course, says that, well, it's not like I'm never going to see Aubrey again. What a dick. And with that, Chelsea gets up and starts heading out for the hospital on her own. Her mom does join her, but it's very clear that her baby daddy did not. The scene continues, and we see Chelsea and her mother visiting with baby Aubrey in the hospital while trying to call Adam to see if he's coming or not. They've been there for at least 3 hours, and Adam is not picking up the phone. As her call is being ignored once again, Chelsea's mother says to her, "Frustrating." And Chelsea agrees, it is frustrating. But then Chelsea's voiceover comes in and says, "It may have taken Adam a while, but he's finally come up to see baby Aubrey." We don't get a clear picture on how long a while really is. That scene transitions from Chelsea and her mother in the hospital visiting Aubrey trying to call Adam to now the baby is 8 days old. Adam and Chelsea are walking into the hospital together, so it's obviously a completely different day, and Adam is finally paying attention to this little life he brought into the world. How can you stay away that long? And I know, as the 16 and Pregnant series goes on, this may not be the worst dude out there, but certainly in the Teen Mom universe, he is a high contender. Even what you think is Adam being a present father isn't quite so. As that scene progresses, we find out that Adam actually brought one of his friends, Tyler, along, T-Y-L-A-R, Tylar, because they have big plans to go work on a car later. How long were you at the hospital, dude? This baby is brand new. Were you there for more than 2 hours? Even that? Yeah, so needless to say, Chelsea says, "You can go work on your stupid car." Adam retorts immediately, "Don't call it stupid. I don't call her stupid." Referring to Aubrey.
Douchebag.
Chelsea says, "That is not even the same thing. Don't even make that comparison." And you hear Adam's voice go, "I know," but he's not facing the camera, and something tells me it was dubbed in. Shortly after that conversation, Adam and Tylar go and work on a stupid car. Chelsea's voiceover tells us that she's decided to stay at the hospital that night, meaning that she could sleep there, because baby Aubrey might be clear to go home the next day. So exciting, so exciting. We know that Chelsea and her whole family, except for Adam, have been looking forward to this, and it's only, hopefully, less than 24 hours away. In the morning, we see Chelsea having a conversation with her friend Megan and her mom, who have come to be with her and Aubrey that day. And she lets us know that when she talked to Adam, he hadn't even gone to sleep yet. He had stayed up all night working on his stupid car with stupid Tylar. So of course, needless to say, Adam's asleep now. Chelsea says to her mom and Megan that if Aubrey's clear to go home and Adam misses that, she's not sure how she can forgive him, how she can look past that. But moments later, we see that Aubrey is clear to go home, Adam is not there, they pack the baby up, Randy comes through to help out, they all go back to Chelsea's mother's house so Chelsea's mom can help Chelsea adjust for the first week or so to new baby life. And then, hours later, Chelsea says Adam finally woke up and made it over. Like it's no fucking big deal. Girl, you just said 2 seconds ago that you don't know how you're gonna forgive him. You don't know how you're gonna deal with it if he misses Aubrey's clearance to go home. Because he's what? Sleeping? Dude, fuck you. When we do see Chelsea and Adam and Aubrey in the same room outside of the hospital, Chelsea is trying to breastfeed for the first time. And I don't know anything about breastfeeding. As you listeners know, I'm not a mother. I've never experienced that. I know it's difficult. It's not something that just happens right away, even though you think it fucking should. What's that about? That's not fair.
Oh my God.
Is it hurts.
Is something coming out?
I don't know. It hurts. How do people do this? Can I switch boobs?
I don't know. I don't care.
You should care.
We should go to Dakota Grill tonight.
Why?
A bunch of muscle cars are going to sit there.
Well, Adam, I have her.
I know. Can't your mom?
Well, maybe it'd be best for you to stay here since it's the first day she's home. You said it was going to be different once she came home. And you? What?
You didn't say it was gonna be different. So can you just stay here today?
The whole day.
Yes, the whole day.
And the whole night.
Yes, the whole night.
Can your mom watch her or something?
No, it is the first night home.
So?
I could not make it up if I tried, my friends. And yet another great example of things I would never want to say on recorded television for my child to hear later.
Okay, who cares?
Fuck you, dude. How many times can you say you don't care about Chelsea or you don't care about that baby being home in 1 minute? Also, I would really love a count, if someone could do a little fun counter of how many times I say fuck Adam in this session, because I'm sure I'm nearing 100,000 by this point, and 100,001, fuck Adam. That scene ends with Chelsea's voiceover saying that she thought that Adam was going to step up when Aubrey came home, but it seems like he's stepping out instead. When we return from the commercial break, we are told that Aubrey is 4 weeks old and Chelsea is continuing to make that transition into new motherhood. For the first week out of the hospital, Chelsea was staying with her mother, and now that she's been able to stand on her own 2 feet a little bit, she's moving back in with Dad to continue taking care of baby Aubrey. We see Chelsea doing the typical new mom things that we've seen all the teen moms do, staying up late, feedings, this, that, and the other thing, and of course we see Adam absolutely nowhere. In fact, Adam is so missing in action that Chelsea can't even get a hold of him when baby Aubrey starts developing some breathing problems and may have respiratory syncytial virus. Oh my god. RSV for short. I'm sure they said it in the show. I'm gonna go back and listen, because you listeners don't deserve that. They don't actually say it in the show. They just have Chelsea say RSV and then explain that it's a respiratory virus that preemies are at risk for. So I'm sorry, my dear listeners. That's just something you're gonna have to live with for the rest of this session. Anyway, Chelsea is trying to get a hold of Adam to let him know that, hey, Aubrey's sick, I'm taking her to the doctor, please come with us. And of course, her phone calls go ignored, or quote-unquote, missed, and she ends up going by herself with baby Aubrey to the doctor. For some reason, I usually skip the doctor's appointments for the kids, I don't know why, I just think they're boring, but in this one, Chelsea receives a phone call while the doctor is inspecting Aubrey. It's from Adam. Wow.
Hello?
What?
I was just gonna see if you're gonna come to a doctor's appointment with me. Well, yeah, probably not, because I'm already here.
That is the doctor laughing at Chelsea's joke, or just what she said. I love when I catch people doing that, you know, low-key siding with the moms in some situation. It just thrills me, and I'm so happy to see the doctor doing it here.
Okay, bye.
And now, interesting to know that the doctor was listening to him tell Chelsea to stop being dumb, quote unquote. Who knows, like, this seems like there are parts that were cut out, but in no way, shape, or form does anyone deserve to be called dumb, especially in the same room as their child and their child's doctor. After the phone call, the doctor basically says that Aubrey will be fine, you just have to watch her breathing to make sure it doesn't start happening at a rapid pace, and if she does start breathing rapidly, she'll have to be seen again, and I would imagine go to the ER. I don't know if you would make an appointment for something like that, but don't ask me, I'm not a mom. The scene transitions to what I perceive as being later on in the day. Chelsea is now at her mom's house with baby Aubrey and looks like a couple of her friends, or at least one friend and her mom. And she's talking about how Adam, I guess, is coming over, and she is quote unquote scared.
Adam is coming, and I'm like scared.
Why are you scared?
I don't know, because I want to bring up how he, like, doesn't come around when she, like, she was sick, and he just said he didn't want to come. And, like, it's not an option. And he just doesn't come around for, like, the important things. He wasn't there when she came home. He doesn't come to our doctor's appointments.
When is he there? Just randomly?
When I go to him.
Do you ask him what he wants?
Yeah. I want you to not be dumb. But I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know how I'm being dumb. Like, I'm being dumb because I want to hang out with him. And because I want him to come help.
But that's not being dumb.
I know.
Yeah, I know. You shouldn't even say that.
Well, I'm glad somebody said he shouldn't be saying that to her. I don't blame the doctor. It's really not her place to call that out in the middle of an examination room. However, I really wish that Chelsea's mom would have taken the reins a bit more here and be like, don't let him talk to you like that. I cringe thinking about her sitting there wondering to herself, well, how am I being dumb? What am I doing that's dumb? I just want to hang out with him. I just want him to be there for our baby. How is that dumb? I get it. And I hate that Adam is this type of person to put another person in this mental state where they're questioning their own being. And am I being overzealous? Am I asking too much? No, you're not. Like Macy, you're asking the bare minimum. You're just dealing with a fucking selfish asshole who cannot see far past his own nose. Shortly after that conversation, Adam pulls into the driveway, and upon closer inspection, I think the other person in the room with them is Chelsea's older sister. I really don't know. I'm high as fuck, y'all. Enter Adam, and Chelsea attempts to have a human adult conversation with him, but it's hard to do that with vermin-like space people. I don't know. Is that prejudiced against aliens from outer space?
Why didn't you come the other day when I needed you?
I don't know, because I was talking to my parents about some stuff.
Okay, we could have come after. I really needed your help.
Looks like you did fine. She's not dead or nothing.
You are her dad. Don't you think you should help me?
I understand that I'm her dad. You should probably stop saying that. You say it about every damn day.
Do you have any idea how you make me feel?
Okay, do you have any idea how you make me feel when you ask the same every day? It's pretty annoying. And that you call me, like, constantly. Like, every missed call on my phone is from you.
What do you want? Like, with us?
You just stop being annoying.
Wow. Where do we even start with this? I don't know if you know, dear listener, but I often like to put myself in the position of these girls to better perceive what they're feeling and understanding and thinking, and just try to relay it to the average teen mom stoner viewer. When I think about putting myself in the place of Chelsea, where I have Adam breathing down my neck like that and not even giving me a real answer when I ask him straightforward questions, I get suffocated. Like, it's hard for me to even breathe right now. You might be able to hear it in my voice. The anxiety is heavy because people like that are just there to fuck with you and to make you think that you're absolutely insane. I guess that's probably a form of gaslighting at its finest. I don't really know. All I can tell you is that when I try to think about Adam, I guess it mostly comes out in fuck yous, but I really, it's a suffocation. She's asking him point blank, what do you want from this? Stop being annoying. Just like stop being dumb. It's the same thing. It's not an answer. But Chelsea knows better than to argue with him because that will just cause him to probably storm out. And once again, now I feel bad for Chelsea because she can't even stand up for herself. She can't even demand a better answer. She's forced into the situation now to where if she wants Adam to stick around, she's going to take that and leave it there.
What do you want out of this?
I thought you'd come around more.
It's not like I'm doing anything bad. I'm either working on my or hunting.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you're doing that stuff, you should be there helping me with the baby.
Yeah.
I want you to be able to, like, give up hunting or something one night to come help me.
Yeah.
I don't get to do those things.
What, you want
to
go hunting?
No, I mean, like, I don't get to, like, just go out one night with my friends all the time, like you do.
I don't know what, you want me to take her so we can go out and party, or what?
I never once said anything about partying. Can you please get off your phone? I'm just trying to talk to you.
What does that have to do with anything? I'm listening to you.
Because it's distracting.
No, you're just preaching at me.
I'm not. I'm just trying to have a conversation. I want to be good.
Okay, let's shut up and quit talking about this. My God.
Yes, she is asking him to get off of his phone there. He has been on his phone pretty much this entire conversation, but been able to maintain eye contact most of the time. Of course, as soon as that conversation ends, he's shown sitting on the bed, continuing to text or do whatever the fuck he was doing, with little regard for Chelsea, her feelings, or their relationship whatsoever. Oh, and baby Aubrey. Chelsea's voiceover ends out that scene by saying, "I thought Adam would change when the baby came, but I guess I was wrong. I just don't know if I can do this without him." When we come back from the break, Chelsea's voiceover says that ever since their conversation, Adam has shut her out completely, won't return her texts, phone calls, nothing. I assume her calls do go right to voicemail, and I'm pretty sure he's not seeing Aubrey at this time, or else he would have to be talking to Chelsea by proxy. So we can rule that out completely. A little bit later in the scene, we are told that Aubrey is 10 weeks old. The last time we were updated on her age was at 4 weeks old. The argument they had happened a week after that, so that would be 5 weeks old. So 10 weeks old, that's 5 weeks, at least, that Adam hasn't seen her. Maybe I'm overestimating, but that's a long time if you're going no contact like that. But again, this is Teen Mom world and editing and all that, so take it for what it's worth. Unfortunately, since this time that Adam has been going no contact with Chelsea, she has been absolutely sulking. Totally depressed, just sitting around the house, taking care of Aubrey as she needs to, of course, but is just completely depressed over Adam, keeps trying to reach him, text him, all that, to no avail. Her dad continuously tries to talk her out of it, kind of give her pep talks here and there. I'm not quite sure on the timing because I can tell her hairstyle and clothing style changes as the edits are put together, so I think there's some creative work happening here. But the bottom line, Chelsea is not doing well. After a certain point, she does gain enough gusto to put herself together to make an appointment with their guidance counselor at her high school to talk about getting re-enrolled and start working towards her diploma once again. She's been out of school for about 3 months, and with her dad kind of on her back, she decides to make an appointment. Unfortunately, that day she's running very late with Aubrey and has an emergency diaper change in the middle of her high school hallway and misses the appointment with the guidance counselor. I mean, that sucks. Not really great planning there, Chelsea, but this is also kind of a first-time mom who has to be on a schedule kind of deal. So I'm not sure I can hold it too much against her, especially if she's also depressed at the same time. Chelsea's voiceover and some creative animation transitions the scene to the night of her homecoming football game. Her voiceover says that she's missed out on a lot of things, but she's decided that she's going to the homecoming football game. She sits down with her dad and asks him honestly, "Do you think I'll be a bad mom if I go out tonight?" And he says, "No, it's your homecoming." Her dad is so fucking supportive, and I know there have been accusations of him being a little immature here and there, but in this 16 and pregnant episode, I fucking love him. So speaking just here and now in 2009 or 2010, as it were, I love Papa Randy. Chelsea goes out to the game, has a great time, and goes out to a burger afterwards with her friends, skips some dance that was happening afterwards. I'm not sure how these kids do it. South Dakota, you know what I mean? At least I think it's South Dakota. I wasn't paying attention. But Chelsea skips out on the dance because she would rather be at home with baby Aubrey, and we see her there cuddling and snuggling with a sweet little baby Aubrey potato bug. So cute. And I think it's really nice to see Chelsea genuinely wanting to spend time with her baby. But of course, Chelsea cannot have one night to herself without Adam having something to say about it. Somehow he has heard through the grapevine, less than 24 hours since she went to the football game, that she had gone out, and decides to text Chelsea. "Heard you went out, ... way to be a good mom." He broke his weeks-long silence for that. Upon getting that text message, Chelsea makes a brief but fatal phone call.
"Yeah.
Do you say this stuff just to make me feel like crap?"
"Why are you talking to me?"
"Okay.
Yeah, why the hell would you call me and ask that?"
"Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Jeez. Okay. Chelsea then texts Adam and says, I get the point. You can stop now. Chelsea, I don't get the point. What is the point? What is the point? In response, Adam texts back and, you know, trigger warning, I guess. No, I want you to feel like the most worthless, stupid fuck in the world. You better believe it's so over for the rest of our lives, you fat, stretched mark bitch. Tell me where and when to sign the papers over for that mistake. Understandably, that sends Chelsea into tears, and she calls her dad right away to tell him what Adam had just said. Her dad tries to be as supportive, but ultimately says, he is an idiot. He is never going to change. You have to take control. Chelsea is crying. Aubrey is asleep on her chest while she's crying. Sound sleeper, apparently. Chelsea asking her dad, please come home. She doesn't want to be alone. It takes some talking into, but her dad ultimately says that he'll come home and be with her. She's torn apart right now. This guy is fucking ruthless. I can't believe anyone would say that to another human being, let alone the mother of your child. Chelsea's dad arrives home and they have a talk.
He, like, says mean things to me, which, like, hurts my feelings. But then when he said that about her, that was different. I think it's sinking in that he's mean. Like, when he said that he wants to sign over his rights to that mistake.
What's that, how's that make you feel?
Makes me feel way worse than when he tells me anything.
You know why?
Because
now you're the adult, and you're seeing him say and pick on somebody who has no defense.
Yeah, she didn't do anything wrong.
You have to start using his meanness as your motivation to get out of this.
I think we need to change her last name.
He's done nothing to deserve to have his name carry on.
Oh, God. I don't disagree, but that's harsh as fuck. He's done nothing to deserve his name being passed on. Wow. Oh my God. Ruthless. Everybody's ruthless in this episode. The scene then transitions to the viewer seeing Chelsea, her dad, and Megan drive up to a lawyer's office to promptly go change Aubrey's last name. Presumably, she has Adam's last name at this time, which is Lind, and I guess they want to change it back to Chelsea's last name, which is like Huska or something like that. You think I would know. I know Adam's last name so well, not only because of his multiple police reports, but also because in the later seasons, they make a big deal about Chelsea considering changing Aubrey's last name to match her now husband's last name. They end up coming with a pretty good compromise, so I won't spoil that for you coming down the line, but that's why I had thought Aubrey had maintained the last name of Lind. I guess maybe they changed their mind afterwards? We see Chelsea in the office discussing it with the lawyer, her father and Megan are there, and she signs the paper at the end of the meeting. So what was that? The viewers are made to believe that now Aubrey's last name is officially changed from Lind back to Huska. It is good that Chelsea has seen the light a little bit here with Adam's very harsh words, not only towards Chelsea, but towards Aubrey, the very undeserving infant child of the man who is insulting them. It's unfortunate it had to come to that, of course, but sometimes that's what people need to really see the light. Until that point, Adam hadn't been going after Aubrey. She was just an inadvertent victim. Because Adam is just a negligent person. We see him here just not giving a shit about Chelsea and then, in effect, not giving a shit about Aubrey. Why? That scene then transitions to a couple weeks later where Aubrey is now 12 weeks old and Chelsea and Papa Randy are fawning over her in the living room. So sweet. Randy lets Chelsea know that he has some good news. He spoke to the high school and they're going to try their best to cut Chelsea a break as long as she shows up to every class here on out from when she returns back to school and makes up all the work from when she was out without exception. She will still graduate. That's pretty good. That is a good deal. Chelsea understands that it's a good deal, but admits that her mind is just not there. She knows that it should be, but it's pretty clear that her mind is right there on baby Aubrey, and I can't really blame her. It seems like she's got mommy mode going into overdrive, and I'm not mad about it. I love to see it. I just am worried now because it might get in the way of her educational desires. Hopefully her dad stays on her butt and makes sure she gets that diploma. Or at least something. Either way, that's very good news that Chelsea has this opportunity to get that diploma and have that achievement under her belt. Chelsea's ending monologue rounds us out by saying that, well, she's pretty much figured out that Adam is not as supportive as she thought he was. So that's good. She has that realization. Awesome. But I will say, it doesn't really end on the most comforting note, as so many of the other girls' monologues tend to, or at least a more self-assured note.
First, Adam was really supportive and nice, but the reality is he's just not ready for this. And he's not ready to grow up and take responsibility. He's not ready to get a job and be a little family, which is sad, because that's what I wanted. I'm working on trying to make the best decisions that are for me and for Aubrey. As of right now, I'm getting incompletes in all of my classes, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to fix this, but I want to. I don't know all the answers. I'm just trying to figure out what the right thing to do is for me and my daughter.
Okay, so your knee-jerk reaction might be, ooh, incompletes in all your classes? But remember, she's just kind of getting back into the school game, so yeah, right now she probably does have incompletes in all her classes, though that probably does mean she wasn't working very hard when she had that time off with Aubrey. I don't know if I can really place blame here. Like, I know it's important, but at least here we have this girl owning, like, well, I don't really know if I'm going to get this done. I have really mixed feelings about this because I am also a proponent of education. I consider myself an eternal student and encourage everybody to continue learning as long as they possibly can. So I want to encourage Chelsea to take school seriously and understand you need to be paying attention here. You need to be working. And even though baby Aubrey is important and postpartum depression is a thing and depression because your ex is an abusive asshole is a thing, you still have to prioritize. And I feel that because she didn't get a lot of the necessary mental health aid when she was going through that depression with Adam, she could not have possibly worked as hard on any assignment she may or may not have had at that time. I really wish, much like Caitlin, Chelsea would have gotten a little bit of therapy here. It's pretty clear that she needed it. So we leave it on kind of a question mark for Chelsea. What's going to happen with her and Adam? Is she going to go back to him, or is this really it for them? What's going to happen with her education? Is she going to stick with this? Is she going to complete her incompletes? A big question mark for her. So obviously it's a huge setup for Teen Mom 2. I'm a little annoyed by it, but her storyline is pretty compelling. So I'll give it to you, MTV. I'll give it to you. I feel like that was a jam-packed session, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me on that wild ride that is Chelsea and Adam. But we do have sweet baby Aubrey to look forward to, so I hope you continue to join me on About This Time of Day, a Teen Mom podcast. On our next session, we'll be discussing Leah. Leah the teen mom, not Leah the baby. Until then, you can catch us on Instagram or Twitter at ATTODpodcast on Instagram or Twitter. That is the acronym for the show, About This Time of Day. On there, you'll find fun things like bad art I like to do for every session, a preview in each session's companion strain, and of course, updates on when the next session will be posted. So, I know I've been coming down on Adam pretty hard this entire session, and it's not exactly undeserved. I was upfront about it, you guys. I'm a total Chelsea supporter. I just want her to find someone who will love and care about her. And for Adam, I just want him to pick up Aubrey and put down the meth pipe.
Shut up and quit talking about this. My God.